Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Mercy Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Carter, and I am the Director of Outreach here at Mercy. And in my position as the Director of Outreach here, I've been able to basically start putting together different resources and trainings for people who are out there and maybe have a heart to help others and just need some further equipping. And that's basically the gist of everything that I get to do here is figure out how we can take the things that the Lord has taught us here at Mercy and put them into your hands. And so one of the things that we have actually been doing over the last few months has been developing a workshop, and we've actually already held a couple of the workshops, called Empower. And at these workshops, we are bringing in people from all different walks of life and all different professions, but people who have a heart to help others and just want some training in that area. And one of the things that we have found to be the favorite of a lot of these attendees of our workshops has been the topic that we're going to cover today. And that topic is safeguarding yourself and how to walk in a place of being a helper, being a minister of freedom and of hope, but also taking care of yourself and putting safeguards around your life. And I will say that this has been an area where I had a lot to learn in my early days of helping others, because I really didn't have anybody who came alongside me to just flesh this out for me and to say, this is what this looks like and how to safeguard yourself. And so it's been an area of growth, but now has also been an area of great passion for me as far as working with other people and helping to train them and to give them the permission that they need sometimes to really build safeguards around their own lives so that they can continue to be effective ministers and effective helpers. And joining me on the show today is once again Jen Otero, who is our transitional care manager here at Mercy, formerly our director of counseling in our Nashville home here. And Jen and I have had just the privilege of putting on and hosting these workshops for people. And so we are really excited to get to share this specific topic with all of you today. Jen, thank you so much again for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely, Mel. Thanks.
Great. So let's just jump right into this. You know, we are really passionate about helping people understand the importance of taking care of themselves mm-hmm. when they are helping others. And it's not just something that is, you know, a good idea or something that will make their lives a little easier. It's completely vitally important to their help and their ability to help others. Yes. And so we just kind of want to start to jump into some of these different principles that we've been sharing with people. And the first one that we want to hit on is just the importance of truly establishing healthy boundaries with those you are working with. And I always joke, I love to share the stories where I completely failed in these areas just to help people understand what can happen when you don't do these things. So for example, with establishing healthy boundaries, I remember in my early days of youth ministry, I just thought it was a really good idea for me to tell all of these teenagers, you know, I'm here for you all the time, like literally 24/7. If you wake up at 2 a.m. and you're struggling with something, you just know I am on call and you can give me a call anytime. I will always be here for you no matter what. And I really thought, I mean, this was coming from a heart of love for these kids and compassion for them, but I just thought, like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're right. Supposed to always, always, always be there no matter what, on call at all times. That's what the Lord has called you to do. And there was nothing about that that was healthy or true. And so, you know, it's really, really important that you establish healthy boundaries with the people that you're working with. It is really about knowing where you begin and where you end in your level of support mm-hmm. for someone, and also how important it is to keep God at the center of all that you're doing. And so boundaries really help kind of limit your capacity to try to be God and to try mm-hmm. to be their savior. And they really allow the Lord to stay at the center of the process. And so, you know, sometimes it really even requires that you set some ground rules with people. Right. And it may be literally like an overt conversation that happens about, like, here's the times that I'm going to be available. And here are the times that, you know, we may get together and that we may meet. Here's what my role in your life is going to look like. It's really important to just make that kind of black and white clear mm-hmm. at the beginning when you're working with someone. You know, there's not a black and white layout of what that should look like. Every relationship is different. But knowing what is a healthy boundary for you to place when it comes to your time, to your energy, even just to your role in the life of someone, and then really being clear about that with someone. So right. That's kind of where I wanted to start us off with today is just the importance of healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Jen.
I do, because the thought that comes to mind is I think the difficulty that comes in with setting healthy boundaries is that we either feel mean mm-hmm. or we feel selfish, which neither yeah. are true. But when you are a helper, and typically helpers have that mercy gift and they have the compassion and they can't wait to get in, and that's all God-given and beautiful. But if it's not in a balanced place with boundaries, or if there is that place in our identity where we just kind of see ourselves more as a helper than we do a son or daughter of God first, and our identity is right. kind of found in helping, we can feel really mean or we just feel selfish. And neither of those things, like I said, are true, but they can really hinder us from setting boundaries. And that ends up being unhealthy for us and the person that we're helping. Mm-hmm. It's not helpful for anyone. And so that's the thought that came to mind, just to kind of call that out, because I think that's the difficulty. You know, the idea for some people who have been listening are thinking to sit down and say that I'm not always available mm-hmm. or that they can only call me, or actually I'm not even giving my phone number, but you're welcome to email me. That can feel mean, mm-hmm. but it's really not. And in the long run, it sets everyone else up for success in such a way that you will not be able to experience otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, so thinking those things through is so important.
And I can even just attest to that because of the fact that I did not set healthy boundaries. I almost quit
yeah.
after about a year of youth ministry because I was like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm literally completely worn out all the time, and I am wearing the weight of all of the pain and all the difficulty in these students' lives. And I didn't have an ounce of boundaries with them. And I literally almost just threw in the towel after mm-hmm. a year. And so that was doing no one any good. First of all, it was almost creating this environment where the students were leaning way more on me than they were on the Lord, which mm-hmm. completely took him out of the center of everything. So that's not helping them at all. And goodness knows it wasn't helping me, because I was just getting worn out and exhausted mm-hmm. and frustrated. And so the results of not establishing healthy boundaries is not anything less than you're going to burn yourself out.
Right.
And it's going to take the Lord sometimes even out of the center of the equation. And so it's just important on every level for both sides. So mm-hmm. Jen, what would you say would be the next piece of advice we'd pass on?
I think there's that place of creating team, or what we even refer to as like coordinated care. So if you have someone that you're helping, for instance, if a girl comes into our Mercy program, she doesn't just have a primary counselor. She has someone who's working with her nutrition and someone who's working with physical fitness. She's got a ton of other staff members that are on the nights and weekends. And so lots of different personalities, lots of different people that she can connect with. It's not just one counselor who's carrying the entire burden, or even the joy of watching these girls overcome and into a place of freedom. And so I think it's really important that we are humble enough to go, you know what, I bring my portion of the pie, but I don't carry it all, and mm-hmm. I don't know it all, and I'm not good at everything. So being really good, I think another portion of that boundary is going, I need to make sure I have people around me, especially in the harder cases. You know, if you've got someone who's overcoming an eating disorder, for instance, I never ever just counsel someone without someone who is a nutritionist or someone to come alongside to really speak into those things that yeah. I have probably just enough knowledge of to be dangerous. I don't have enough knowledge to really be helpful. Does
right,
that make sense?
Good.
And so really knowing where we begin and end mm-hmm. and making sure that we bring in team, and that can look a variety of different ways. If you're a youth pastor, you've got someone who is also coming in with that kid, or mm-hmm. whatever it may be, just being really intentional to make sure that we don't get into this idea of believing that we need to be it all or have it all, because we don't. And it's okay that we don't, because right. when you bring someone else in, I've watched it time after time. I've watched a girl I've counseled go to talk to a staff member, and she has a completely different take on what we're talking about. And suddenly revelation comes that I did not carry, because I don't have the same story. And mm-hmm. so really recognizing that when you bring in that team, you're also opening up that person that you're helping or supporting or loving on to so many new ways of seeing things and more support. And it allows you not to fall into such a place of false responsibility.
Right.
So it safeguards you from that place, because there are other people for them to call and to go to and to be loved on, where you don't have to carry it all. So I think that's a big, big piece.
Absolutely. I've definitely seen even just the results of what it does for you as a helper. We talked some last month about the importance of understanding that you're not the only, like you're not alone
right.
in this, and that the Lord is with you and he cares about the other person more than you even do. And mm-hmm. so keeping that in mind, but also when you have this team approach to helping someone, it really helps you to remember that you're not by yourself.
Right.
You know, you always have the Lord with you, but man, when you even have those other people coming alongside, it's so much easier to remember that. Mm-hmm. It's just so much easier to remember that you're not alone. And so, you know, just having that team approach, and also sometimes, as we've said before, calling on some people who might actually, like you said, have mm-hmm. a different level of expertise in what you're working with, and understanding and knowing that that is absolutely okay.
Right.
It is absolutely okay to admit that there's a level of care that this person needs that I absolutely can't bring to the table mm-hmm. by myself, and I need to bring someone else along, and that that is okay. And right. so, you know, part of safeguarding yourself even is knowing who those people are mm-hmm. in your community and doing the research that you need to do. If you meet someone who maybe needs a level of care that you can't quite offer, you need to know someone that you can send them to.
Right.
And so if you haven't done that research on the front end and you don't know who to send them to, mm-hmm. then, you know, you're kind of in a little bit of a bind at that point. And so doing those, you know, making those phone calls, looking online, maybe even having some face-to-face meetings with people in your community, like you said, nutritionists, mm-hmm. Certified professional Christian counselors,
right.
you know, even ask for information about how they do counseling and make sure that you agree and that you're in line with the way that they operate so that you can have full faith in referring other people mm-hmm. to them, you know. So that's another piece of putting a safeguard around yourself, and that you already have, you know, kind of referral files on hand yeah. and ready, so that when those situations arise, you've already done that front end work and you mm-hmm. know who to send them to. So
and that it's not a failure when you do that. Mm-hmm. I think we have said that before and we'll say it again, that there is that place when you've been so just such a part of someone's story and their healing that sometimes it can feel like failure when you're like, I can't do anymore. It's the best thing you can do for someone to say, you know what, you need to go see a counselor. You need to go see someone who has more than what I have, mm-hmm. because you're genuinely setting them up for so much more than you can do. So right. I always like to hit that, because it can feel really yucky to be yes. like, ah, I can't do this. I wasn't able to fix it. But there's that stepping back and recognizing probably what that's really rooted in as well, you know, right, but it's absolutely. Not failure to refer.
It's so good. Part of even bringing other people along in the process is the importance of seeking out people who maybe do what you do, but mm-hmm. they've been doing it for longer. They've got more experience, and seeking out training, having those relationships in your life of people who can speak into the work that you do and helping others, finding maybe it's mentors, whatever it might be, but seeking to continually to grow mm-hmm. always, whether it be through books or workshops or just having some of those people in your life, but always continue to keep that at the front of what you're doing. I want to keep growing. I want to keep expanding. And so whatever that might look like for you as far as how to grow in those areas, just don't stop growing.
Right. And I think too, going to trainings and those opportunities, it doesn't just equip you more, but I think it really ignites passion again. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you hit those points where you've kind of been doing what you've been doing for a while. To go to a training or read a book or to have a conversation or to see how someone else does it differently, not better or worse, just differently, sometimes can just ignite that passion all over again of reminding you why you do what you do and how much you love it and, you know, the cool things and callings that God's put in your life. I've seen that time after time where it's like just about the time you start to kind of feel like, oh, mm-hmm. you go and you, you know, poured back into in yeah, such a cool way. And suddenly right. the passion returns, you know?
Absolutely.
And too, Mel, I think, you know, we can talk about all of these extraneous pieces of having healthy boundaries and, you know, having a team and referrals and all of that's so important, going to training. But at the end of the day, there's the reality of the importance of taking care of you, or you taking care of you and me taking care of me, mm-hmm. that there's that place where all of these other things are so important, but even just in having some fun, mm-hmm. having quiet, knowing, I know we often talk about, you know, if you're an introvert or you're an extrovert, you need to know being around people either brings life to you or it drains you. It's not good or bad. It's just different. And so understanding what it is you need to pour back in. I know for me, if I've had a really long week, I love to go out to the trails and walk and pray. Like that's what, you know, builds back into me, or going and having fun with my family, or, you know, knowing the things that don't necessarily have to have purpose attached to them, but they do pour back into me so mm-hmm. that I'm in a healthy mm-hmm. place. That's such a huge part of really taking care of ourselves mm-hmm. because even as I say it, a lot of people go, well, yeah, but there's an intentionality. It's not just an idea in your head. There's something to be said about putting things into play so that you're well taken care of as
right,
well.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of the most important things that someone told me whenever I was working at the church was like, go have fun tonight. Like mm-hmm. go do something fun. And just for someone to actually give me permission to do that was so freeing.
Yeah.
Like it's okay for me to maybe just take a night off from being Youth Pastor Melanie yeah. and just go watch a movie and go hang out with my friends. And even in saying that, I know you hit on this, but the importance of having friends in your life who are not the people that you're ministering to and helping. Right. Now, yes, at some level, we all minister to and encourage and help our friends. Like, that's part of that. But for you to be able to have a place where you can take off your counseling ministry hat or whatever mm-hmm. it might be and just be you and just to relax and to have some fun and to even have people who can pour back into you and encourage you is so vitally important. And I do get a little bit concerned about people who I realize, like, man, the only people that they hang out with are the people that they're trying to help mm-hmm. because at some level burnout's going to happen. You just got to have some refreshment and relaxation and get away from that for a little bit. I mean, even Jesus had to retreat sometimes and even just spend time alone. And so, you know, having those types of relationships in your life and just giving yourself permission, as you said, to find those things that re-energize you mm-hmm. and take time out to do them. And if it means that you have to say no to someone who wants to go have coffee with you and talk about their problems that night so that you can just go off and have some time by yourself, it's worth it to build that stuff into your life. And I know, just even on a practical note, like for me, I actually had to start planning it in advance. So this coming week on Monday night and Thursday night is going to be my night by myself. For me, I re-energize alone. So those are going to be my two nights that it's just me and the Lord, and I'm going to just re-energize in that way. And I would put them on the calendar as an actual appointment on my calendar. And so then if I had a girl who said, hey, I really want to get together. I got to talk to you about something. Can we do Thursday night? I would have to use some wisdom and discretion sometimes and actually just say in those moments, you know what? Thursday night, I actually already have something on the calendar. And what was on the calendar was my time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was important. Like, it was absolutely important. And so we just have to find a different night.
Right.
Whereas when I didn't do that intentionally from the front end, I would be very susceptible to just saying yes to everything. Be like, oh my goodness. I just, every single night of the week is now taken up with helping people. And so you really have to be, like you said, so intentional and so proactive on the front end about it. And I would even add to that piece as far as just taking care of you, not only having relationships and good friendships in your life, but also having a true source of accountability and prayer in your life. So if you don't already have a prayer team in your life of people that are praying for you as a helper and in your ministry, I just encourage you to take some time today to make a list, whether it be 3 people, 5 people, 10 people, of people that you can literally just go to them and ask, can you be part of my personal prayer team and someone that can regularly pray for me? And you can send them updates and requests and things that you know that whenever you've had a really tough meeting with someone or you're really discouraged about someone that you're trying to help, that those are the people that you can call on to say, please just pray for me right now. That's just a vitally important piece of everyone's life, but especially someone who is a helper, to have people praying for you.
And I think too, Mel, when you say that, I always think about, I have 4 girlfriends in my life. We just have like a group text. And we constantly throughout the day, hey, praying for you guys, or hey, can you guys cover this? And I mean, I would laugh if I probably scrolled back through that thing because mm-hmm. it's so long, but that's just how we stay in contact. We get together maybe once a month, but the rest of the time we are constantly texting each other and covering each other and praying for each other. And there's such a power that comes in that, where I'm so grateful that I have that. They're not just covering me with ministry or counseling, but they cover my husband and my family. And, you know, there's just such a, but there's an intentionality to that as well, and being willing to be vulnerable and open and honest and to allow those choice people that are safe to come around you and lift you up.
Right. Well, Jen, I think the most important thing for us to end the show today with is the importance of taking care of yourself on a spiritual mm-hmm. level and staying connected. You know, my absolute favorite scripture related to this is John 15:4-5. And I'm actually just going to read it. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And this is the key part of this scripture to me. For without me, you can do nothing. And so how many times did I start finding myself just leaning on my own strength and my own knowledge and my own wisdom? And I was really so focused on working for the Lord that I completely started losing my own personal connection with him. And that was never what he asked me to do. And so we can be so passionate about helping people that we actually lose our connection with the source, or that connection starts to weaken. And then pretty soon we find out exactly what the scripture says: apart from him, we can absolutely do nothing. Mm-hmm. How important it is to be in a continual place of growth spiritually, and to take whatever time you have to take out of your week to connect with him. And so much of what we've even talked about over the last few weeks, just about helping people and about the keys to freedom and helping people get to the root and all of these different things, we've said time and time again, require an act and a connection with the Lord in that process that you cannot manufacture on your own. You have to have him involved in that process. And so it requires you, on a personal level, be very, very connected and in tune with him and in step with the Spirit. And when those things start to weaken, then you start to depend on your own strength and your own knowledge and your own whatever it might be to try to help. Mm-hmm. And that will not last, and it will fail.
No,
so
it won't.
That's just an important piece of that. I think that we need to make sure that we end today on that. So
I would say my last final thought is, you know, it talks in Matthew about how the Lord says to put first things first and to seek him first, and all these things will be added unto you. And so as we are intentional about making sure that our identity is as sons and daughters and we've got him first, then really there's no end to what he can do through us. But I think you nailed it, is that so often we're working for the Lord instead of with the mm-hmm. Lord. And so often we're trying to do for the Lord instead of allowing him just to live through us. And so as we position ourselves first and foremost in relationship with him, we're that much more empowered to watch him show up and to do such mm-hmm. cool things. And so yeah. I think all of this is so important for anyone, honestly, mm-hmm. whether you're professional in what you do, whether you're, you know, just a helper, a lay person, whatever it is, someone who just really cares about people. There's such a gut check that we need to continually kind of bring back to. And there's no shame in that when you realize, wow, I'm a little off center here. The Lord is so gracious and faithful and so kind to come along and go, yeah, you are, but let me show you how to get back on track. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage everybody just to be honest enough to go, yeah, this is something I'm missing, or, you know, I really need to build more fun in. And if there's anything that we've just given people permission, you know, to go out and have a fun night and disconnect and allow yourself just to be who you are, not yeah. youth pastor Melanie or whoever else. You know, right. So I think that's my final great. Encouragement.
Well, if you are listening in today and any of these things really struck a chord with you, or if you are a helper and you haven't really taken time aside to figure out how you're going to put some safeguards in your life, I just want to encourage you, if you need to even go back and kind of listen to all of these main points again, take some time today, take 15 minutes, take an hour, take the rest of the day to ask the Lord, what are the safeguards that I need to be placing in my life so that I don't burn out of this in a year, or so that I am completely connected with you on a daily basis, so that the power of your word and your Spirit is at work in my life and in the people that I'm helping, whatever it might be. I just encourage you. I just have this feeling that for most people out there who are helpers, this is not at the forefront of their mind. They're so concerned about the people they're helping, which is a wonderful thing. Like, the Lord has given you a heart of compassion for people, and it's a wonderful thing. But what can happen is that we end up completely losing track of ourselves in that process. And so I just encourage you, no matter where you are in that spectrum, to take a few minutes today to ask the Lord, are there some things that I haven't built into my life that you want me to build in, so that I am healthy, I am whole, I am free, I am energized, and I am completely plugged into you because you're the source of freedom. So I just encourage you to take time today to do that if you haven't before. So again, Jen, thank you so much as always for being here today and just for sharing just your insight into safeguarding ourselves.
Sure thing, Mel.
Again, want to just remind you listeners out there that we are hosting these Empower workshops here at Mercy a few times a year now, and we are sharing things similar to this on how to safeguard yourself. We're talking about keys to freedom. We're talking about who you are as a helper, all kinds of information. Literally, we pack full 2 days of training and materials and resources. And so we are really, really excited about these workshops and would love to have you. And we have just recently actually posted our 2016 dates for the Empower Workshop in 2016. And so I encourage you to go to mercymultiplied.com and check that out, because not only can you get the dates down on your calendar, but you can go ahead and register today for those workshops. We would absolutely love to have you. And so again, thank you for tuning in to Mercy Talk this week, and we will hope to see you next week.